sing from the heart tonight. We'll take our prayer request tonight, and we'll ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to come and pray over these. Let's pray for Dale Prophet from North Carolina. He's having problems with prostate and needs touch from the Lord. Sister Judy Davis is requesting prayers of the saints. She's needing strength. Please continue to remember Brother Junior. So let's pray for them, that whole family tonight. Also, Terry and Jaretta Stockton, both very sick, need a prayer. Gail Clark, sick, couldn't be in church tonight. Brother Harvey Lunsford has an unspoken request. Also, please pray for Phoebe Torres. She's unable to come to church due to an allergic reaction, so let's remember her. Also, please pray for my daddy, John Short. He has a bad toe. He has diabetes, need a prayer. This is my Jesus is a healer. This is from Isaac Short, his son. So let's remember those requests. Let's stand tonight and ask Brother Terry if he would to come and pray over these needs.
As we all pray tonight, let's just thank the Lord, first of all, for what he means to us. Brother Ben said, when we pray, first thank God for what he means to us before we ask any petition. So you pray in your way, and let's talk to the Father. Heavenly Father, we truly want to say thank you for the privilege to come to church. We get to go to church. We truly are blessed. Yet in this country, we still have the privilege to come and worship according to the dictates of our heart. How thankful we are to come into the house of God. We ask, Lord, that you would come and meet with us. We don't want to just be here and know that we would possibly serve a historical God that's not the same yesterday, today, and forever, but because you are the same and we know that you're the same, we don't necessarily all just come to meet you here, but we know that we brought you with us because that we have met that pillar of fire and you dwell within our hearts. And we're thankful that we have become the temple, the tabernacle of God. God, we're so thankful for these messages and these sermons we've been hearing about the new city and realizing, Lord, that the characteristics of this bride much match that new city, and we have to attain that here because death only changes our dwelling place and not our nature. Lord, you're preparing us for that new city. You're preparing us for that other side. You're molding character into this little bride, and how thankful we are to be part of that. Thankful, Lord, for the Word of God. Thankful that you sent a messenger, Lord, to show us the good way of God. I'm so happy, Lord, to be part of that. And these people, they love you, and they're thankful. We pray for these requests. We ask that you would be continued with Brother Junior Davis. Lord, you see Sister Judy's request and the need, the family there, and all this concern. Oh, God, we just believe that you're still the same. We believe you still perform miracles. We still believe that you heal cancer all the way, Lord, from the minor to the major. God, I pray that you'll grant it, Lord. Sister Mary Lewis is still having trouble breathing. I pray that you would touch her, be with her. Each request that I hold in my hand, Lord, there many of them are urgent. All of them are necessary. And, Lord, you love each one. And you're still, Lord, desirous to heal. I remember you several years ago when my wife got her first liver transplant. And she, you know, she got a kind of a revelation from you knowing that you had a great desire to heal her, and she said, Lord, I have a great desire to be healed. And God, you touched her, and you healed her, and you brought her out of it, even a second time. Lord, and I'm thankful for your hand of deliverance. And Lord, you've done that for millions around the world. Lord, there's only one factor. It's already been paid for. Can we appropriate that faith and believe? He said, all things are possible if we can just only believe. Bless the service tonight, all that's done and said. Anoint your servant to speak the Lord. Let it be spiritual food in due season for this awaiting bride. And may we leave the building and we say, it's been good to be in the house of God. Grant, Lord, to heal each one of these requests that I hold in my hand, and it'll be a testimony of your grace. And we'll thank you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight. Let's think about our brother Junior Davis tonight, and let's sing this song together.
Oh, there's a miracle in the making. One just for you, your Father is working it right now. Have been heard, and the end.
sing that verse. Let's sing anytime, any place, anywhere. E.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere.
Has a song for us tonight. If he'd come, be getting ready to sing. And then Sister Cindy Hunt, and I don't know who's singing with her. That's all I needed to know was Cindy was singing. It'd be good if they'll just come and pray or sing after him.
I hope you noticed how fast I walked up here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He healed my feet. They burned like a fire. Have we got a mic on here? Yeah. They burned me like a fire, I tell you. I saw an advertisement in a magazine. They said, "Is this your feet?" And I said, "Yes." It showed a man walking in a coals of fire, you know. But God healed my feet. He healed the spurs that were in there. And I tell you what, it's just, he's healing me from the bottom to the top is what he's doing. And I'm singing tonight, "The Old Ship of Zion." And, you know, we can sing anything, you know, mostly people want to hear. But it's important that you explain to your children what the Old Ship of Zion is all about. I remember I had 6 years in the Marines in the Coast Guard, and we did all the aids to navigation all the way from Alabama down to Key West, Florida. And when you stood watch at night, you knew you were getting home to St. Petersburg, because there'd be three lights out there, but they'd all be scattered. But when you got all three lights lined up as one, you get my drift? It meant you was right in the middle of the channel. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. Then away at my side, there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried. Ship ahoy. Ship ahoy. And loudly I cried, ship ahoy. 'Twas the old ship of Zion, thus sailing along. All aboard her seemed joyous. I heard their glad song, and the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught my wail of distress as I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, as I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy. The good captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. Now I'm singing today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, and now I can say, bless the Lord. Soul sinking down, neath sin's merciless waves, the strong arm of my captain is mighty to save. So trust him today and no longer delay. Board the old ship of Zion and shout on your way. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Say and shout on your way. Jesus, Jesus saves.
Each burden. dreading the coming dawn, a long day to
that singing tonight. Let's stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word tonight. Let's sing Jesus Draw Me Close.
Oh Jesus, draw me close, closer Lord to you. Let the world around me fade.
Godly desire that is tonight. Amen. If you really have that from your soul, you're a blessed individual.
Amen.
You realize that many, many people love God with their spirit. And they love God with a human love. But they do not love Him from a seed soul. So they'll make their choice constantly. They'll hear Him say something and say, I don't believe that. I don't feel led to go that way. And then they'll come back over here. They'll hear him say something. I don't agree with that. I don't feel led to, I feel led to do, And there they go, constantly, constantly, constantly. And the word is their absolute as long as the word agrees with what they believe. What a way to start out the service. But I want the word to be my absolute, whether I agree with it or not. If it burns my hide till I look like a piece of charcoal. I want to be saved, friends. I want to be a part of this word, don't you? Let's turn tonight, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verse 30. I want to speak to you again tonight on your mind as a garden. Your mind is a garden. And that being said, that makes each one of you gardeners. Amen. How many of you are good at growing plants outside? Some of you are. Some of y'all can't even grow a fake one, can you? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's in this garden, all of us can do something about what becomes out of our garden. And whether you've got a green thumb or not, it doesn't really matter when it comes to this garden. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now let's look at this poem together that I shared with you a couple of weeks ago. Your mind is a garden. Your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. Now, let me say something that I hope you will receive. Satan cannot make you grow anything that you do not want to grow. We make him this great, big, powerful, omnipotent something or another. That's a lie. If you don't want to go to hell, there ain't enough devils in it to make you go. Right? And if you don't want to grow all kinds of nonsense in your mind, you don't have to. If you want to grow flowers, grow them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, for your presence that we sense is here among us. And how grateful we are for that, Lord. We realize in this last day, it's a day of great famine. It's a day, Lord, when not only denominational churches, but many message churches are drying up on the vine, as we would say. The preacher's either hung up in false doctrine or got all kinds of problems. And Lord, is there a place here and there that your presence is free to move in, Lord? Not only just shouting and running and jumping and singing and hollering, but Lord, people that want to receive your word, to obey it. Lord, I think sometimes we're totally convinced we're free from the world because we don't cut our hair and we don't smoke or those types of things. But help us to see, Lord Jesus, there's so much of the world that does not involve smoking. It does not involve pornography. It involves worldly ways. Those things which Eve fell from in the beginning. There was not a cigarette even in view. A bottle of whiskey. There was nothing there like that. But it began in her mind. Help us, I pray, Lord. Speak to us tonight from your word. In Jesus' name. And the saint said,
amen.
Would y'all say that again? I just like hearing it.
Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope you'll repeat that every now and then during the service. This old coon hound can hunt without them, but I hunt better with them. I I want to go back into something that we was looking at a couple of weeks ago, because there was so much that I'd found in studying it that I didn't quite get it done. And I think that it's something that probably is the key to many folks' devastation of their walk as being a Christian. For to be like God is more than healing the sick. To be like God is more than being able to believe certain doctrines or certain things, even to quote scripture. To be like God would be the projection of his own character. And it's not something that you would learn, a learned behavior, sort of like an Amish or a Mennonite or whatever it would be, but it would be something that would actually come from us by an inherit or an inborn new nature by the new birth. And looking at that, when we think of how Satan was able to inject himself into the human race in the beginning, knowing that he wouldn't have to have millions and millions of people. All they needed was one. That's all that he needed in order to inject himself into the human race. And once he accomplished that one, all the rest from there, once it was mixed up in Genesis 6, all the rest of them would become tainted. Then everyone that would be born into the earth after that tainted seed was placed into the earth. This is why God had to come himself by virgin birth to bring something of a new creation. But even though we are born again on the inside from the soul, yet our body, our spirit, our mind, our makeup, our chemistry, the things about us from the time we're conceived to the embryo stage on up, whenever we're born, until we die, we are held in prison in this type of a body. This body is still subject to time. It's subject to sickness, subject to disease, subject to discouragement, subject to many things as any other person out here. And yet, something on the inside by a new life gives us the ability to combat the outside, which an unregenerate person doesn't have. But even though it gives us the power to combat it, that new life in us doesn't automatically eradicate every bad thing that's in our human nature. As a matter of fact, for many of us, we will battle, all of us will battle this flesh until the very day we're changed. If you think you're going to arrive to a spot one day that's maybe 6 months before the rapture, 2 years before the rapture, you'll have no more battles. I'm not sure what you've been reading, but you sure haven't been reading the message. Because I believe it's going to get harder and more difficult, but we're going to be more victorious as we go along. Now, whenever we think about the ability to be able to forgive, what I want to look at against and out by the help of the Lord is that I won't hold grudges. Now, it is godlike to be able to forgive. It is terribly ungodly not to be able to forgive people their trespasses. Now, it is unlike God, no matter how long your hair is, sisters. Your brothers might be clean-shaven. You might have a nice haircut. You may not have any tattoos on your body. No piercings in your mouth. No piercings up here. Piercings all over. And you may have the imagery on the outside of a message man. But if you do not have the ability to forgive from your heart, you are not yet achieved to the image of godliness. And forgiving does not mean that you forgive the person when they ask you. That's not true forgiveness. Because forgiveness goes beyond even when a person's asked you and then you think about it and you contemplate and weigh it out. Okay, I think I'll do it. No, that's still not godly forgiveness yet. Now, think that whenever God made us up physically, and he made us up neurologically, physiology and all the things that is about us, Satan knew that once the man fell, that there would be things about his physical makeup that would be unregenerate. You know, Satan more than likely didn't understand the concept of the new birth until many years after it had been preached. And he saw the Holy Ghost come on the day of Pentecost, and he began to study these new creatures because they looked the same as they were before. Peter looked the same, but he saw that under pressure he acted different. He saw that James under pressure act different, but yet he would still see that Peter had a weakness about him, James had a weakness about him, Paul had a weakness about him, and it took him a while as he was studying these new creatures because they were new creations in the same old temple. So he was trying to figure out what was left and what was the remnant of the humanity. No doubt he'd done you and I exactly the same way. I guarantee he's got us figured out now, don't you? But that's the good part about it. We've also got him figured out.
We've got his answers. That's exactly right. I'm not sure exactly what his questions was, but we got the devil's answers anyhow. Now, whenever he does that, then he knows that there's an element about us that is unregenerate. And he knows that whether it's in the brain, whether it's in the spirit, whether it's in the heart, whether it's in the neurological side, whether it's in the cells that's given to you, whether it's in the genetic makeup coming down from the mixture of your mother and father's chromosomes, the natural DNA that comes to you, he sees there's certain things about us that are weaknesses in our DNA. There are weaknesses in our chromosomes. There are weaknesses in our spiritual makeup. There are weaknesses in all this about us. So after the conversion then, he must study us in a different way. He must study us in a cycle that we are a new creation in the same old temple. Where before, we were of the world in our soul, of the world in our spirit, of the world in our body. Once we become new creatures, then we become of another world in our soul. And our spirit then has become more like God. But our spirit is still, remember, it's still from the outside realm. And it still must be affected by outside contacts. And then the flesh is still subject to all the things that it was before. So inside is a hidden force, a new life, which is constantly bringing the flesh into gravitation. So it pulls it back. No, I can't do that. No, I can't go there. No, I don't do this. No, I don't do this no more. I'm changed. And the flesh says, how come you can't do that? Well, because I don't want to do it no more. And the flesh said, well, why don't you want to do it no more? And they just argue and fight all the time. That's for those of you that's got a white dog and a black dog. And for those of you who think you're already glorified, I guess you just got a white one alone. You dear little angels, you. You might want to leave right now. I'm not sure you're going to feel welcome in the rest of this service. But if you like all the rest of us mortals, you still got the fight going on, Chief. And it's going to depend on which one you feed the most. Now, in that though, whenever we go to looking at what the way God made us and the way God left us after He remade us, so it is a process that is ongoing as the earth itself. The Lord Jesus dripped His blood upon the earth 2,000 years ago, but the earth is not yet fully redeemed. In the mind of God and the plan of God, sure, but in reality, we look around the earth and we still see all the things that are there. It's worse now than it was when Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. But yet we know according to the program of God, He can look at it by faith in His word and say, it's already mine. It's already done. It is finished. But as far as in time, it is not finished yet. Well, He can look at me and my soul and you and your soul and say, you are finished. You are done. You are complete. But then you look at yourself and say, but I may be years from being that in reality. So in that then, there are things that we will struggle with, things that we will deal with, and because that we are a human being in our mind, our brain, our intellect, all the things that are around us, your brain didn't get the Holy Ghost, your DNA didn't get the Holy Ghost, your chromosomes didn't get the Holy Ghost when you was dividing in your mother's womb, and your father may have had the Holy Ghost, and your mother may have had the Holy Ghost, but they was not able to pass into that union Holy Ghost germs that would be able to make it, but if daddy had something in His blood and mama had something in her heart and daddy had cancer cells and mama had this and that and the other, all them things has come right down into your DNA. After you get the Holy Ghost, guess what? They're still there as a human being. Right? In your brain, it's still there. In your mind, it's still there. But yet in your soul, you've got all power to overcome every bit of it. But the key is learning how to submit to the inner life that's on the inside. Now, let's look at this about grudges and forgiveness. Because you are a garden. Whatever seeds, thoughts that you plant in your mind will grow. Your emotions are the water and fertilizer that causes your garden to either grow beautiful flowers or ugly weeds. When you plant seeds of love and you water and fertilize it with feelings of tenderness, warmth, passion, affection, and happiness, your garden will flourish with plants growing after their kind. Also, if you plant seeds of hate and you water and fertilize them with feelings of anger, loathing, displeasure, fear, belligerence, hostility, your garden will flourish with plants growing after their kind. Can't you see why Satan wants us to get hurt and offended, and he wants us to attach so many emotions to those hurts? Now, how many of you have been let down by preachers, disappointed by so many people? And you know what? If you don't let that become so much of an emotional attachment, it won't have near as an effect on you. But if you've been at that church for 40 years, or you sat under that man for 25 years, or whatever it is, and oh my, you were so hurt, and you were so let down. Don't you see what's happening? Your emotions are becoming the fertilizer that are attaching to those thoughts. And you are going to categorize yourself as a victim. A victim mentality must maintain in your mind in order for you to remain in the state that you cannot forgive. As long as you maintain the mentality, I've been done wrong, it's not right, they should not, I don't care what they, you are in the position of the position that you'll never be able to forgive. Why? Because you're holding this, and everybody needs to know your side of the story, and they need to hear what you've got to say. What? You're proclaiming you are a victim instead of a forgiving person. What was that word y'all used a while ago that you said so nice? You pitiful outfits. You sure didn't say it that like that a while ago. Now watch. What seeds are you planting in your mind garden? The seeds you sow today will be the harvest you reap tomorrow. Now watch this. Let me read this to you. This is not from Spoken Words Original Seed or the Church Age book or from the Bible. This is from Mayo Clinic. I'm thinking about asking this guy to come preach us a revival. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a decision to let go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. Glory to God. I'm convinced there's hundreds and thousands of people in our message that need these things. Not just out there, but right here in our own church. Right. Now watch this. The act that hurt or offended you might always remain a part of your life. But forgiveness can lessen its grip on you and help you focus on other positive parts of your life. Forgiveness can even lead to feelings of understanding, empathy, and compassion for the one who hurts you. Now you watch, as long as you're holding on to the victim mentality, you will not be able to try to understand the other person's point of view. As a matter of fact, if anybody even mentions their point of view, you will get angry at them for not taking your side. Praise the Lord. Woo! Now watch what happens to us now whenever we were able to forgive. Forgiving brings mental benefits that emerge through forgiveness. The way to let go of hurts is to replace grudges with generosity. Make kindness more important than hostility. And let gestures of care for others train the brain to form habits for healthy relationships. Don't you understand? This is what Almighty God did for us. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are good and not evil. What if God would have thought about how wretched we were and how lost we were and how miserable we were, and he would have thought about that and thought about that? He could never have forgiven me to such a place that tonight he looks at me as if though I never even sinned. How could he do it? He must think about me, Brother Jim, in a different mentality than the way I look at myself. Notice this. Brother Ram says how God must be so brokenhearted because of our conduct. After he has received us as sons and daughters, and to see us the way we act and carry on, and grudges we hold, and fusses, and little things like that, that should not be, and yet calling ourselves sons and daughters of God. My goodness. Now, not smoking, not drinking, not running around, but arguing and fussing and grudges? We must be gallant men. We must be gallant women. We must hold ourselves up as children of God. We must be an example to the world as our Lord was. We must lead an outstanding life. An outstanding life. Not just quoting. Not just, oh, how deep is this and how deep is that? Oh, friend, I get so sick of people's perception about what deep even is. Let me ask you something. The doctors have diagnosed Brother Junior Davis with cancer, which is no more than a headache to God. Wonder which deep mystery he's using every day to combat this cancer. Wonder which modern event, how many bullets that the DHS is buying up? Is it how many caskets that they're buying? Is it how many black helicopters are flying here and there and there? And Brother Branham is speaking, you know, oh my, be this and be this, and yet preachers fill the people's minds with such nonsense. And then when they face trials, they have nothing, nothing to meet the enemy with. You think I don't hear those things? You think I don't know those things? You think I don't know that we're 50 years after the seals is open? But what does that mean to me? Oh, Brother Donnie, it's a jubilee. A jubilee of what? The jubilee for those that were slaves. I'm not a slave. Praise the Lord. You couldn't get no deeper than Jesus was. What deep revelation was it that Jesus used in Matthew 4 when Satan come against him? What deep, great foundational mystery did he use? He used the word that applied for that day. It ain't no wonder we got such moss-backed Christians in this message. A lot of the preachers don't spend enough time to bring them what they really need. To know how to fight the devil. To know how to forgive. To know how to be like God. Well, glory. Notice this. New research shockingly reveals that unforgiving, resentful, pessimistic, or negative thoughts cause the memory trees in a brain's dendrites to become sparse and thorny. They no longer look like healthy, abundant branches, sometimes referred to as magic trees by neurologists and brain researchers. When we are unloving, angry, and unforgiving of others, special photographs of the dendrites in our brains begin to look like dark abscesses have taken root. Literally, we develop black holes in our brains. And we quote like a Gatling gun and talk about the thunders and talk about the seals and meet somebody out on the steps and can't even shake hands with them. That ain't just laity, that's preachers too. Well, glory. Watch this. Neuroscientists and biochemists tell us that when we think malicious, hateful thoughts, our brains release toxic chemicals which burn holes in the brain. Me either, Brother Davis. I don't want that. I believe there's a lot of holy folks in the message. Holy in their head. Notice, or at least they look like holes and abscesses in brain scans to the layman. Because a cavity, well, this might be a better term. Microphotographs reveal these chemicals burn tunnel-like holes and branch nerve cells called dendrites. By contrast, positive thoughts actually create more dendrite nerve fibers in the brain. Listen to this now. You can grow a new memory over the old memory. Oh, hallelujah! Can it be done? How many of you know it can be done? Sure it can be. So you imagine when we think malicious thoughts or unforgiving thoughts or bad thoughts, we're releasing in our own body chemicals that's burning holes, abscesses in your memory trees. Notice this, you can grow a new memory over the old memory. Can be done, can it? One of the elements in this healing process is forgiveness. Does that mean that you'll forgive what that person done? No, no. You see, God can forgive and forget. You and I cannot forget. Well, I mean till we get older. Don't worry about it. Sooner or later, it won't matter no way. You'd be good to know who you are, much less anybody else's faults against you. Come on now, don't sit there and look at me. I ain't talking about you getting some bad disease. I'm just talking about getting old. What would it be, friends, those of you who have bad memories of this and bad memories of that, if God would allow the natural anatomy of your body and you could actually create a new memory over the top of that old one. And that old one has haunted you. And that old one has stole your victory. And within you, not in heaven, not in the creative power of God, but in the chemistry of your own body, is the ability to create a new memory over the top of that other one. Now let's talk about deep. After all, I want to be like God. And only God can create. But if I'm one of his young'uns, I can too. I'll tell you one thing, I don't need another earth right now. I don't need another moon. I don't need another Saturn. But I'll tell you what I do need. I need some memories to be created over the top of old ones. What would do you the most good? To stand out there and tell everybody the message. All right, now you're going to see who a true man of God is. I'm going to create a new earth. What good would it do for you to create if I couldn't get out there on it? Unless you're going to put me out there on it too. But how do I know you ain't going to look an asteroid somewhere and put me out there in the cold dark, 40 below zero? I'll just stick right here if you don't mind, friend. But if somehow you can give me something that'll help me create new memories, get beside all the hurts, all the disappointments I've had in life so that I can enjoy my life as a Christian better, I'll take it. I'll take it. Watch this. Brother Bram said when your life tallies with Christ, that's when you've got it. By their fruits you shall know them, and the fruits of the Spirit is love and joy, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, not grudges, and fusses, and fights, and stews, and arguments. Can't you see what's happening to all these folks that are pulling away from the message? They're getting on all these forums, and they want to pull you right in the middle of it, and they want to argue and fuss and debate. Can't you see how bitter they're becoming? I feel so sorry for them, friends, because they are creating a garden that is full of malicious thoughts and words, and they'll find so much patience and love for everybody out here except for us in here. And look at them, what's spewing at them. It's amazing how rapidly some of these folks have changed. It's scary. It's scary. Don't you understand what's going on? Well, you said the devil is doing it. It ain't just the devil. It's them. If we could have micro photographs of their mind, I wonder what holes and caverns we would see in their brain that's eking out the poisons. Well, Brother Donnie, do you have all the answers to believe the sign? I don't. I don't have all the answers how the Lord made the earth either, but I believe it's here. And as far as I know, it's here. I don't understand how I can eat food and it somehow change into me. And, you know, I'm eating better than I've ever eaten in my life, and I'm getting older and uglier and more gray hair and all that. How in the world does that work? Come on now, you are too. Don't sit there and smile at me. Some of y'all think you're so pretty. I don't understand how a lot of things work, but I know it's the truth. And I want to see the results. I want to see what does these questions produce in the lives of these people. And ask yourself, is that what you want? Watch this. You see where we're after acting like the world. Oh, Lord. Acting like the world, holding grudges, fussing, fighting, stewing, arguing. Brother Ben told us God doesn't argue, neither do his children. I knew I should have taken that real pretty strong amen at the beginning of the service. Children, do you honestly believe arguing is worldly? Do you believe debating and fussing and stewing? It is worldly. It's more hard for some people to get up than some women quit cutting their hair. And quit wearing makeup and some men throwing away Conway Twitty. And ACDC and DYZO and whoever more they listen to. Why? Because it's so a part of us. It's a part of our makeup. We want to defend ourselves and hold grudges. It's worldly. Notice Brother Branham says, Branham Tabernacle knows you've been warned of these things years ago, but now your weight in the balance is found wanting. Fussing, fighting, holding grudges. And stewing. You think God could work in a place like that? Never. This is Brother Branham's own church. Did he exempt him? Of course not. Now notice he didn't say you're cutting your hair, you're wearing lipstick, you're wearing makeup. But fussing and arguing and fighting. Can God move in a place like that? Never. Do we want God to move on this hill? Or we just want a form and a ritual and a routine. He cannot move among us if we got these worldly things. There you are, indifferent, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers. That's the day we're living in. Notice this in the Pergamene church age. Holds no malice. No grudges. Don't let any bitterness, no matter how bad the person is and how bad they talk about you, don't you never think. Watch. Think evil in your heart against them, cause right there the devil. The devil. Will sit right in. Also, Brother Branham ties bitterness and all that to thinking. Oh my. Can you imagine? Brother A does something against Brother B. Brother A was totally, completely wrong. Brother B mulls over it, thinks about it. Scientists tell us because people that are so close to us, whether they are family or very close friends, the medulla in that part of your brain releases hormones and chemicals which are only associated with your close friends. So when a close friend or a loved one or a relative or one you've got so much respect for, whenever they hurt you and your body releases this and attaches itself to that, then this emotion becomes a fertilizer that now goes on top of it. And there you begin to think bad in your heart. And then Satan will not set in against them that done you wrong, but against you. the one who was actually offended. So by one wrong, he's got two people. The person who did it and the person who the wrong was done against. And both of them have got a sour attitude. And both of them are wrong. And both of them have got bitterness or whatever more. Come on, church! Lord Jesus. Notice this. My. Don't ever think evil in your heart against them, because right there the devil will set in. Work up something right there. You just keep it covered with godly love, confession and making right. And do good to those who do evil to you. If you only do good to those who do good to you, why, Jesus said, don't the publicans the same? The sinners, anybody can do good to them as good to them. Anybody can do that. But listen there. But be good to those who are not good to you. Do something for those that would not do nothing for you. You say that sure ain't good grammar. It sure is good sense, though. He got two negatives in there. I don't care if he had 14. I think you get the message. How can he expect us to do such a thing? He doesn't. God does. Now remember gardeners, search your garden right now while you're hearing this. Some of you ain't saying one word, but you're not silent. All kinds of things is going on right there. You're sorting, processing, but what about this, and what about that, and what about that? Just listen. Shut down your supercomputer while I'm preaching. Just listen. Trying to figure out this and figure out that and figure out that. Let God just feed you and we'll figure everything out later. Now what he says, be good to those who are not good to you. Do something for those that would not do nothing for you. Speak a good word for the man that would speak evil against you. I know this is so simple, but it's so godlike. I know it ain't deep, Brother Amos, but I wonder how many deep preachers can't do it. Speak a good word for the man that will speak evil against you. And that way, what a peculiar answer. That way, you keep all the bitterness out of your heart. Wow. You mean so somebody does something wrong against me, and I've got a right now humanly to be offended at him and hurt at him. I've got a right to get a grudge, and I've got a right to be bitter, and I've got a right to tell you and you and you and you and you and tell it first, because whoever tells it first is the one that's most believed. So I'm going to hurry and get around my story so everybody will believe my side of it. But here Brother Bram tells us, for the person that would speak evil against you, you speak a good word for them, and that away, it'll keep bitterness out of your heart. That don't even make sense, does it? Unless, of course, the master scientist was anointing this man to say these things. You saying Brother Bam's in the flesh? Was this his opinion? Or was this before the seals? Or was this man tied into the mind of God? And even doctors now, doctors and neuroscientists and all these people are proving the things that he said many years ago with a grammar school education. Why? He was tied into the scientific laboratory of God. Amen. So me speaking good to somebody that speak evil against me actually turns right around and keeps the bitterness out of my heart. I don't mind telling you, I don't want no bitterness. I don't want no bitterness. Some of the most bitter people I've ever dealt with in my life are in and around this message. I've dealt with Pentecostals for years, dealt with Baptists, different ones of them. Some of the most bitter, miserable people you ever run across is some of the folks in the message churches. or have said in message churches. Why? They didn't follow the simple step to watch the garden of their mind. Now watch this. What are the benefits of forgiving someone? Letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for compassion, kindness, peace. Forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, greater spiritual and psychological well-being, less anxiety, stress, and hostility. I need all the above. Anybody in here beside me need less anxiety? Less stress? Look what it also does. Lower blood pressure. Well, glory. So we get mad. We defend our rights. And go to the doctor and take pills for it. Friends, I'd say we'd be surprised if we knew how many of our physical ailments are due to such stuff as this. And we're buying into the devil. The devil ain't even at fault. And much of it, it's us. Also, fewer symptoms of depression. How do I reach a state of forgiveness? Forgiveness, I love this, it's so simple yet so profound, is a commitment to a process of change. Amen. To begin with, you might consider the value of forgiveness and its importance in your life at a given time. When you're ready, actively choose to forgive the person who's offended you. If you forgive them tonight, because I've read you quotes and scriptures, it won't last. And your brain will not process it, nor release you from those feelings. But when you choose, glory to God, don't you see what God did? God chose to forgive you. You didn't come and beat on the altar and beat on the altar and make God feel bad. God chose. Forgiveness is a choice. He chose to forgive you. He chose to bury your past. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a threat. It's not a legalistic point. I've got to do it. He read that quote. I've got to. It's a choice. When you're ready, actively choose to forgive the person who's offended you. And move away from your role as victim. And release the control and power the offending person and situation have had in your life. Release the control. Look, friends, we have a hard enough time just keeping up with our garden with what we sow in it. I wonder how many of you would be totally surprised and amazed by how many people you let garden your mind. Your children do, your mama does, your boss does, this doctrine does, that preacher does, your boy does, half backslid, your girl does, don't even serve God. How many people do we let garden on our property? They control our emotions, they control our joy, they control our victory. I'm learning by God's grace to how to differentiate between loving and being concerned and being affected and keeping y'all out of my garden. Hey, I love you folks with my heart. I'd give my life for you. I do weekly. I give my brain, my intelligence, my time. I take time from my family for you. But I don't love you enough for you to bring your hoe in my garden and go to plant your seeds. When are we ever going to get to a spot to realize we do not have to let other people control our lives? You'd get mad at a as a hornet at me if I told you, you can't go here, you can't do that, you can't do that. My, you'd get so aggravated. And yet you let your little girl upset your whole world, your little old boy. You let all kinds of things go on, steal your joy, rob your smile. Now watch, in order to forgive, move away from your role as victim and release the control and power the offending person and situation have had in your life. And as you let go of grudges, you'll no longer define your life by how you've been hurt. You can even find compassion and understanding. Some people want to wallow in their scars. They want to wallow in how much they've been let down and how much they've been disappointed. My goodness, we've all been hurt. We've all been let down. We've all been disappointed. Why don't we let go of the control? You say it ain't controlling me. You're still talking about it. And you still get all tore up. Sure, it's controlling you.
Well, my pastor has no fear on me. He don't bother me at all. I'll tell you one thing I do.
Right.
That situation don't bother me. I'm perfectly in control.
Oh, what's that jerking all about?
Friends, are we honest enough to look in the mirror of the Word and see we need help?
Notice Brother Ram says, in Christ the mystery, if the brother you think he's a little wrong, or the sister, and say, Lord, don't never let me have the root of bitterness spring up. Because it'll affect him. It'll take Christ right out of. You're kidding. Now watch. A root of bitterness. So where are roots? Beneath the soil. Hid beneath the dirt. So no matter how much depth I have, what a great preacher I am, how deep, how mysterious, if I have bitterness in my heart and let it stay there, it will grieve Christ right out of my life. Now for a preacher, he'll keep right on preaching. He'll astound people with his gift. And Christ is grieved away from him. For a singer, he'll still sing. He'll still write songs. For a musician, he'll still play. And the people will cry because they're rejoicing on the gift. And yet Christ is grieved right out of that preacher's life. Lord Jesus. A root can lay beneath your yard for years and years, and you'll never see it. It can get bigger and bigger and swell and branch out and go deeper and deeper. You mow over it every spring, summer, and fall. You stand outside and admire the leaves. But down inside of it, roots, roots. So is bitterness. Bitterness is not a fruit. Bitterness is not a leaf. Bitterness is buried deep. And because it is deep, hardly nobody knows it there. So a person that's eat up with bitterness can come to church. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I love you so much. And you see, they're not feeling the bitterness toward him. So they can stand there. Oh, you can just like feel that presence being around them. Oh, I love being around that brother. So sweet. Oh, my, my. But if he only could dig down beneath the flesh, look into the dendrites of his brain, find his memory trees, they're hollowed out with holes. And he keeps his bitterness so well hid, hardly nobody knows it. Until this individual's name is mentioned, or that sister's name, or this situation, then many times only their closest family members and friends do they empty out on. But when they do, it's poison acids. Do you realize in every one of your automobiles out here, truck, cars, van, whatever you drove to church, you're driving around with very caustic poison battery acid in your car. It will eat your flesh. It will boil your eyes out with enough of it. Eat the hair off of your head. But as long as it's contained in the battery case,
It does a purpose. But if it's spilled or broken, it becomes devastating. A root can lay in a Christian's heart, a preacher's heart. I can preach over it, shout over it. My people say, oh, what a man. Oh, that ever hurts. That's preaching in my life. And Christ totally grieved away. Notice this, Brother Bram says, it'll take the Christ. Friends, do we believe this or not?
Yes.
It'll take the Christ. Not depths, not mysteries. Christ. Right out of my life. That poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred that will take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It will run Him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God. Or drive it away from here. Hurt your pastor. It'll do everything. See, don't do that. And where does it come? From deep inside this person who will not forgive. That's bad when you're holding that against a brother or a sister or a preacher. But it's really bad when you're holding it against God. Your husband or your wife got cancer or TB or whatever more, and God in His wisdom decided to take them. Look like in a premature way, you had children to raise, and God made it so difficult seemingly on you. Nobody ever knows it. You still come to church. But deep down in you, you've got a resentment toward Him. You can't really talk to Him one-on-one because you and He both know it's there. Something happened in your life that left a question there. He said, I don't understand why God, how come God doesn't help? Listen, friend, I don't understand His ways either, but I know He's perfect. Sometimes His ways don't make sense to us at all. And the way He'll decree something and declare something, sometimes we just have to wait till we get yonder to see the outcome. But we must trust Him. What's this? The first stage of forgiveness is the awareness that to forgive is far greater than the need to be right.
Amen.
But you see, our need to be right is so important to most of us. Well, I'm going to preach for the night, you say amen. But when we can look at it with a godly perspective, now let's look at it from God's point of view. Which was most important to God? To prove that man was rebellious, a sinner, low down, sorry, rotten. Or to take the high road and to prove from a godly nature that for God to forgive that man was greater than for God to hold justice against him. Now if we want to speak about greatness, let's talk about it. Greatness can forgive. Greatness can go beyond human nature. This is my friends. I realize I'm talking about the top of the pyramid. I'm talking about third pole. I'm talking about the opening of the word. I'm talking about bride material. Can everybody do this? No, but the bride can and will. Everybody around the message ain't gonna change this. They can't. But I'm going to. Anybody going with me? To forgive a person who judges or hurts you is to refuse the role of victim and to unleash a new chemical and electrical circuitry for letting go of grudges. So when you make up in your mind, really, in all reality, when you make up in your mind, I'm going to forgive my husband. I'm going to forgive my wife. I'm going to forgive this preacher. I'm going to forgive this out of the other. I am not going to look at myself as a victim. Poor little me. Poor little me. Poor little me. I choose to take the high road. And I am going to forgive them. Then when you actually do that, your brain releases a chemical and an electrical impulse in the neurons of your brain. And they start creating new memories. Where before, all you could think about, he done me wrong. But once that really starts happening, and you say, yes, by God's grace, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to move beyond that. Don't you see what you're doing? You are creating a new memory over the top of that other one.
And it's bitterness insurance. I said it's bitterness insurance. Ain't no way you can forgive and be bitter at the same time, so make your choice. I choose to forgive. I choose to be like God. Can I have a few more minutes? To refuse the role of victim. And to unleash a new chemical, an electrical circuitry for letting go of grudges. Once you leap past the doors of anger, or grief, you often find yourself ready to enter new doors of compassion and understanding for others who face injustice. If you value a person deeply, forgiving that person's offense is harder because your medulla stores the pain and your mind replays its sting. Now, how many of us have been guilty of that? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, because it's 100%. Are you discerning, Brother Donnie? No, I just got enough of common sense to know. Whether it's your wife, your husband, your mama, your daddy, a brother, a sister. How could they do that? Don't you see what's happening? The medulla of your brain is so releasing them chemicals. And you're fertilizing that hurt every time you go back into the victim state. Friends, in reality, who is the greatest victim that has ever lived on this earth? The Lord Jesus. He was a victim. Totally innocent. And except all wrong. He was a victim. But he chose to forgive. Aren't you glad that when you go before the high priest, you come back to me again, Dan Dyer? How many times does this make now? 3,837,437,292 since last week. What do you say? How many times do you think I'm supposed to forgive you? How many times do you think? You know what? You'd get to a spot you wouldn't go back. If Jesus brought up this victim thing. But he takes the high road. And he chooses to forgive. Lord Jesus. The medulla stores the pain and your mind replays its sting. It takes a desire for a sense of integrity, peace, and well-being to move forward. And you can sense forgiveness if you no longer feel stress or tension in that person's presence. Now, for those of you who think you've forgiven, take this last fact and measure it by that. Whew. Here's where an open mind helps, and it does not depend on another person feeling regret or feeling your hurt. So you mean I'm supposed to do this even if they don't ask me? Even if they don't ask me. Some of you that's been hurt by preachers, it'll be a cold day in hell before most preachers will ever ask you to forgive them. So if you're waiting to forgive them on them asking you, you'll be there shivering in hell with them. So I'd advise you to do like Jesus and take the high road when he hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. Were they asking for it? Did they want it? Were they down on their knees crying? They were not. But he took the high road. Oh, you say that he was the Son of God. Then let's move to the book of Acts and see another man by the name of Stephen filled with that same character, that same life, that same deity of God. He said, Lord Jesus, lay not this sin to their charge. And we're apostolic, are we? You mean they had more before the seals than what we've got after the seals? Lord Jesus. It helps to admit your own mistakes
and treat others as if you walked in their shoes. The brain responds with compassion, care, and curiosity. Brother Dottie, why are you preaching on the brain? If I've got Christ in my soul, what do I need this for? I just got through reading to you that Brother Branham said a person could have this bitterness in the other unconverted realms and grieve that Christ right out of their life. Does that mean you're not saved? No, I'm not saying that. Does that mean the seal is broken? No, but the fellowship is broken. He cannot fellowship with you in tenderness when you've got those acids of bitterness and unforgiveness. The brain responds with compassion, care, and curiosity to move you forward by treating others with respect. The above statements were read from Mayo Clinic. Now, if they're teaching people this to make humans better, what ought the Holy Ghost to do with this for those of us that are born again? What's this? Let's jump down a little bit. Brother Daniel passes Proverbs 24:32. Stay away from outside influences that are negative. It is extremely important that you keep your thought garden away from any concept that is contrary to your desires. This is why you need to be very careful. The websites you go to, the preachers you listen to, the amount of influence that you give people always down. I'm not talking about why we got to hear Brother Donnie. I never said no such a thing. I'm not talking about hearing Brother Donnie. I'm talking about you lining up what you feed upon of what you want to become. Now, if you want to become a garbage dump, I would advise you to feed on garbage. But if you want to have a garden full of beautiful flowers and you want to be a child of God filled with the Holy Ghost, I would advise you to feed on whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are faithful, whatsoever things are of a good report. That's what I'd advise you to feed on. Only you can control the growth of your garden. In order for you to reap the rewards you wish, you need to do whatever is in your power to control your thoughts. Remember, what you focus upon the most is what you tend to create in your life. While most of us have fleeting moments of negative thinking now and again, the length and frequency of time you focus on these thoughts determine whether they will sprout roots and grow into something larger and much more troublesome. I'm not preaching you're going to be free from negative thoughts. You'll always have them. I'm going to give you something that's called a double barrel. To let you know the devil might fly over, but he's going to be awful bad shape if he does. What kind of trouble can negative thoughts create in your mind? Feelings of depression. Defeatism. Inability to recognize opportunity. Hopelessness. Resistance to positive change. Confusion. Lack of focus. Lack of direction. And purpose. And much, much more. That's enough for me. Do you understand where a lot of folks are in the message? Right there. They just spend so much time on the things of life. Susie's got a soccer ball at 3:05, and then Jimmy's got a baseball at, is that 3:26 or 4? Oh no, I forgot. Let me check my phone here. Okay, it's just 4:26. I gotta go over. Oh, then I gotta go to Ingleston for grocery store. Oh my goodness, and then Johnny's supposed to be, oh my, I'm gonna be late for the match. Honey, can you go over to the basketball game and get Johnny? Johnny's not playing basketball. Johnny's playing football. Oh, that's right, it's Susie playing basketball. Oh my goodness, I'm just so busy. And what you focus on most is what you become. A rattled, brained mother. Why? That's what you focus on most. You know what some of you parents need to do this summer for your kids? Hardly nothing.
you enroll them in 47 courses to be this, and they got to compete with that one. Why don't you spend time with them this summer? Why don't you spend time? They'll recall that a lot more than all the other things you give them. I would to God that I could recall one summer that I had with my daddy. I would to God I could recall one fishing trip. I wish I could recall one trip to the Smoky Mountains. And you buy them $100 tennis shoes and buy them this and buy them that. Do you think you're making the right kind of children out of them by giving them things? Be a dad. Be a mom. Put your arm around them. Look them in the face and tell them you love them. I don't remember until after my daddy had his stroke. And I don't say these things disrespectful to my father. I don't remember until after my daddy had his stroke. Years after I was married, gone from home, and was a father. And my daddy could look me in the face and tell me that he loved me. And he took a stroke in his brain to affect him. To where he could look me in the face. And put his arm around me when I get ready to leave Kentucky and come back here to you all. And say, Donnie, I love you. Here I am, a grandpa. I could weep my heart out before you tonight. And I ain't the only one. I don't try to get you to feel sorry for me. There's others of you sitting here exactly the same way. Why do you want that? Why do you long for that? Something in you. And you search the dendrites of your memory. You look over here. You look over there. And it just ain't there. But I'm so glad that God has helped me even before I knew these things. The biggest memory that I have of my daddy, it's not all those years he was too busy racing cars and doing this and that and the other. But it's actually after he got incapacitated where he couldn't get around as well. Probably as long as I live. I'll always remember standing up on that hill where me and Carol had that little double wide trailer when we moved here. Daddy putting his arm around me and said, Donnie, I love you. I was harder on you than I was the rest of them because you're just the first one. And I'm sorry. That means more than silver and gold. So you know what I do? When I think of that, and if I feel like crying, I cry. Because I want to put fertilizer on that memory. And make that memory more outstanding than the years of neglect. Oh, glory! I want to make that memory greater, Brother Skip, than all the rest of those memories. What about you, friends? We can do it if we want to do it. Or we can wallow in all of our hurts and our pain and our sorrow. I want to publicly tonight ask my daughters if I have ever done anything in any way to negatively affect them or my wife or you, my sheep. Please forgive me. If I've ever done anything in any way that was wrong, it's made a bad memory for you, negatively affected you, please forgive me. I want to be like him. If you want to keep your mind and life free from interfering weeds, you must learn to pluck out the ones that prevent better growth from happening. That means letting go of grudges,
Not letting yourself be overcome by anger or frustration. And learning how to find the good in every situation. Whew, boy, it's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? You must learn how to cultivate only that which you want to harvest in your life. It's a very simple principle, friends. Cultivate. Put your effort into that which you want most out of your life. But Donnie, I've got to work. Sure, you got to work. But that don't mean everything that you do is built based on work. When you're working, think about Jesus. When you get the opportunity to pray, think about your family. Think about church. Think about the Word. Sisters, you'll make a much better apple pie thinking about Jesus than you will thinking about anger and hatred. Right, brothers? You will reap what you sow, but remember too that sometimes other people are gardening on your land without your conscious awareness or permission. Don't let them. Reprogramming your mind is more like pulling the weeds and planting the seeds. I must pull the weeds of my old life and plant the seeds of my new life, thought by thought. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for this series. I thank God for it. I hate that the Lord had me to take up all y'all's time to preach this to me, but I'm sure glad He did. But Pinky, you probably didn't need it, but I need it, but the Lord had to just let you hear it because it helped me. Amen. You appreciate Him. Your garden. Friends, now it's becoming beautiful springtime here in East Tennessee. You look around the trees, the plants, the bursting out of the ground with new life. Let's look up here too. Let's look and search what's in the garden of my mind. Weeds are prolific. In other words, that means they grow very, very fast with very little care. Anybody got poison ivy around your house or dandelions or any of those weeds? Y'all plant them? You didn't? No. They come up on their own, didn't they? They're by nature. They're right there. Same with bad thoughts, bad weeds. So what do? One thought at a time. We said, Brother Donnie, I'm making steps, but boy, it don't seem like, I mean, you've been preaching on this for weeks now. It don't seem like I'm making great strides. This is the way we do it. One thought at a time. Now, some of y'all want to get a big old John Deere out there, them big old jacking. You're going to tear up everything. That ain't the way God's going to do it. He wants you slowly to go down through the garden of your mind. And think and listen and pull up one weed at a time. And don't leave that spot bare now, but put a new one down. Amen. I'll tell you, when the gospel is preached in such a way, phone calls and emails and texts and things I've got from people, and I've seen grown men sit and cry like a baby, talking about how this series has changed their life. That they really believe now they can become what they're hearing. I say praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Let's pray together if you would. Let's bow our heads. Some people by nature struggle more with the inability to forgive. Some struggle more with the inability to move beyond a grudge. But every human is susceptible to becoming that way. Many times people don't even deal with it till they reach 70 years old, 75. And then they find themselves holding grudges than they never did before. It's like changes that happens to us. But friends, no matter if you're a preacher or a singer or just a lay person, whatever you are, each of you are important to God. Don't never hold grudges and bitterness and harshness in your heart. And if you're here tonight or you're here in this service and you find yourself there and you're constantly focusing on you being the one that was so wronged, I'm not saying you weren't. I'm not trying to minimize your hurt. I'm not trying to minimize that you have been disappointed and let down. But I'm trying to show you the way out. And the way out is not you focusing on being the victim. It's you taking the high road and being able to forgive that brother that has done you so wrong. So wrong. Not just a simple misunderstanding, but has wronged you deeply. But for you to hold a grudge and for you to shun that brother, not speak to him. That's not like Jesus. That's worldly. And yet, would you stand outside and condemn a man that come into the doors back there with cigarette smoke on his breath? Or alcohol? Or a woman came in and sat down with a short dress on above her knees, which we know is wrong? Would you condemn her in your heart? And yet you cannot forgive someone who trespassed you? That woman wearing a dress to church will not grieve the Spirit of God away from you. That brother smoking won't grieve it from you. But bitterness, unforgiveness, certainly will. Hallelujah. As far as I know my heart tonight, I don't have a heart or a grudge or anything that way toward anyone. But myself, when I hear the word preached, I don't just take it and look at my present, current condition. But I look at, Lord, are you trying to tell me something to give me a warning of a situation that might lay right in front of me next week? So help me to remember what I heard Saturday night, even though I thought that wasn't even for me. How many would like to be remembered in prayer? Would you raise your hand to God? My dear precious friends, I know from talking to many of you as your pastor and knowing circumstances of your life, many of you have been hurt so deeply. Things have come up in your life. It's a miracle that any of you can have any confidence in anybody at all. But Jesus can help you tonight. He can help you to help yourself. Don't think Jesus from the throne of God will come down and reseed your mind and pull the weeds out. He won't. But He'll give you strength so that you can do it. Would you like that strength tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I want to bring these children before you tonight. Not only here, but those that would be streaming. Maybe that man there in South Africa, that young girl in New Zealand, that brother and sister in the Netherlands, that man in the Congo, that woman in Idaho, who her husband was taken away from her. She struggled with trying to grasp that being the will of God, wherever they are around the world, Lord. I pray you to help each of us. Lord, and I ask you to search my heart tonight. As far as I know, I don't have an ought against anyone. But if I do, and it's buried deep in me, I pray you'd let me know it tonight. I'll make it right. I promise you, the sun will not rise on another day before I'll make it right. But then, Lord, I pray if there's nothing there in my heart, then help me that it never will be. I know as a preacher, I watch women, I watch money, I watch popularity. But I realize it wasn't none of those three that got Brother Branham to a spot that he was going to quit preaching. It was burnout. Feeling so rejected from the people, and having an attitude against them. Being harsh at times when you told him that he shouldn't do it that way. Calling the people Ricky and Ricketta and Elvis and all that sort of thing. A bitterness somehow. It affected him as a human. And Lord, when you told him about them complexes, you didn't take sides with him and say, I'll destroy the people. But you actually took sides with the people and told him he was wrong. That's the kind of God you are. You're not like the message people who want to hide all of Brother Bram's humanity. You expose all of ours so we can see we need a Savior. I thank you for that, Lord God. I pray you'd help me, Lord. Help me and help every other man of God, every preacher, every pastor.
Lord God, that we don't lose the touch of our people. We don't lose the feeling of our people. This church is not based upon me. It's not around me. I'm a servant. Help me, God, that I never lose that mentality. I'm here to help some. Lord God, help me that I don't preach so much and study so much and give so much that little by little I lose feeling and preaching becomes a job. Help me, Lord, that it'll always be my heart. Help me, Lord, that I never get bitter. Lord Jesus, please help me. Help each of us, Lord God. May the gentleness of the Holy Spirit, if there's a one or many here tonight, that root down in their heart has grieved you right out. Brother Bram used a little simple story that the dove is sitting right up on that branch and he's wanting to fly back. They don't need to get rebaptized again or get resealed. It's just the fellowship that's broken because of bitterness. May that root be killed tonight, Lord God. May it be grubbed up. May it be dug out. That little dove's waiting up there, cooing, cooing, wanting to fly back at her heart. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. Lord, some of our message people are getting so hard, they can't even cry no more. They can't even be touched by your presence. They stand there cold and dead like stone. Lord, help us. Laodicea is encroaching in on our lives, our homes, our churches, our music. Help us, Lord, that we'll stay sensitive to your presence, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Keep me from bitterness, Lord. Keep me, Lord, from malice, strife. Don't just keep me from adultery, want of popularity, want of riches. Keep my simple heart from bitterness. Keep my heart, Lord, from malice, from poison acids that would leach out of my mouth, my spirit. Please, Lord Jesus, make me like you. Help me to forgive the way you forgive. Love the way you love. Hallelujah. I want to live the way you want me to live.
I want to live.
How?
Until
there's no more to give, I want to love, love till there's just no more love. Oh, I could never,
never.
Anybody feels in your heart you need to come and talk to the Lord? Would you just come up around the altar if you feel you need to pray? I want to live, you minister brothers, if you would, the way you want me. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When you stand praying, forgive. Forgive that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Hallelujah. You believe it, friends? Praise be to God. Let me tell you something. Judas Iscariot, if he was in this message today, he would probably deceive a great majority of the message people. Because he was not short in understanding the mysteries of God. And when it come right down to it, and Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. The disciples questioned themselves before they questioned him. He must have lived such a life. His ministry was not inferior. He was gifted, anointed, called, and sent forth. But he didn't have the capability to reproduce the word and live eternal life. I wonder how many Judases. As we go on in time, it's evident. I just heard just a couple of weeks ago, before I left, of a pastor and another preacher that's left the message. Been in the message for years. A pastor that had been preaching in a church that wasn't even sure if Brother Branham was a prophet. You think people sitting under a shepherd, how can a preacher like that preach them into a rapture? He can't. Will it be harmful and hurtful? Sure it will when that happens. Don't misunderstand me. They'll be better off. How in the world can we take a rapture sitting under the ministry of a man that don't even believe the message of Malachi 4? We need to journey on, friends. We need to move on by God's grace. Do we hate them? Absolutely not. Hate no one. Hold grudges against no one. Let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go on by God's grace. Hallelujah. Instead of focusing on those memories of the past, let's make new ones. Fertilize those new thoughts. Amen. Grow the dendrites in your brain. You'll be absolutely overwhelmed even by what God can do for you. I guarantee you that. Oh, thank the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise the Lord. Oh, He's so wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, forgive. I will hold no grudges. Doctors and nurses, Brother Junior Davis tell me the other day, I think they might have already shared some of the testimonies with you. Doctors and nurses coming into his office, been reading the board, as Sister Heidi had made, pages of them laying there, and nurses taking their affirmations down to the desk to make copies of them. Glory.
Oh, you say, that's only for the bride. You selfish thing. If it can help one of them foolish virgins, let it help them. This Bible just ain't for you. My goodness, if you work with a good old Baptist boy, share it with him. It might help him to be a better Baptist boy.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's come again in the morning, expecting the Lord to speak to us. Lord willing, we've got some more affirmations we want to add to our list. One of them is the greatest fear that faces American people. The fear of cancer. But one more affirmation we plan on adding to our list in the morning is, I will not fear cancer. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Let's sing it together. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me.
Counselor,